American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons like Drew, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get a patron-only podcast called Stories That Could Never Be on the Show. Ooh! Sign up today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
Hi, this is Pete from Western Australia, and we're all listening to That Story Show. Hey, did I do all right?
Oh, mate, nobody's listening anyway.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Cooking pizza.
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, where we're telling hilarious real-life stories and inviting you to do the exact same darn thing. This is episode 344, brought to you the week of June 18th, 2020. I'm your host, your delightful host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here, who is also delightful.
Hi, thanks, James. I'm John, and I'm also delightful, and I'm your co-host. Pleasure to be here.
Well, how, raise my coffee to you. How are you doing? You're drinking a cup of coffee, I hear.
Yeah, it's like 90 degrees outside, or 81 degrees. I just looked at my watch, and I'm drinking coffee, and I'm realizing it's making me hot.
Oh,
because I don't have the air conditioner on in here.
Yeah, I took a shower mid-morning today because I had some stuff to do in the morning, and I was hot, and I couldn't. I usually like a nice hot shower, but today I had to turn it down to almost chilly because I felt like I was stepping into a boiling pot of marinara sauce or something. I don't
marinara.
Like, it wasn't water texture. It felt like it would be a thickness to it if it was hot. Like my sweat has a thickness to it, you know?
Yeah.
And I got so that's why I didn't do that. I just kept turning it down. It was still warm, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't
hot. But it was
hot.
Cool warm.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just above body temperature. It wasn't as cold as a cold pool. Because I don't like pools, because getting into cold pools is a hard job, especially when you do it like I do. I go in slow. I don't I don't jump in. I go in slow and I torture myself the entire way. And it's not the best way.
I jump in and jump out because it's like, it's shock. But I haven't been in a pool in a while, so I don't even remember.
Man, you live in the South. Have you ever been in a spring before? Like a Florida spring?
Yes.
Where they're ice cold?
I think there's 72 degrees year round.
It feels like ice water.
And it does.
It is the worst.
But when you acclimate quickly.
When I was a kid, I didn't care. But these days, you couldn't get me in a spring. No way. Mm-mm. You acclimate. You mean your parts of your skin dies off to embrace you and to keep you from dying.
Like, you become very numb quickly.
All your blood flows from your extremities to the core to keep your heart alive. Yeah. No, I'm good. My I mentioned springs because we went on vacation a couple weeks ago, and my wife and children went on a what are those? They're like surfboards. No, but they're surfboards, but you stand up on them.
Paddleboard.
Yeah. They all went on paddleboards on a spring. And it was crystal clear, and they saw two alligators underneath them. And I'm like, what the heck?
That is scary, dude.
One was a baby one, you know.
I don't care.
And my brother says, he says, in Florida, we measure alligators like this. And he holds his hands up. About a foot and a half apart. He says, the alligator's about this big. And then they say, well, that doesn't sound big. He says, no, that's the width of his head. That's how we measure them down here. It's just
the width of their head.
And then all of a sudden that became a very gigantic dinosaur kind of thing. So,
yeah, dude, I don't swim with alligators.
They did. They skimmed right across them, man. And they even got told about them. They just said, don't get in the water and you'll be fine. And so
on a paddle board, you don't get in the water.
Nobody fell in. I felt bad. because I could have gone, and they were rated for up to 300 pounds, which I am 261.1. So I could have gone, but I was afraid to go because I was afraid I would get on it and it would sink into the water. But yeah, I could have gone. But anyway, we always start with an opening story. This one's called Spare the Rod from Simon from Tennessee. Hey, James and John, I've been listening to That Story Show for over a year now, and I thought that it was time I shared a story with you. Before I start, I would like to tell you how much I love your show. It's a very nice thing to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is the show I listen to whenever I need a good laugh. Keep up the great work. Well, that's better than the people that say they listen to us to go to bed at night.
I don't know. I kind of like being the last thing people hear when they go to sleep.
I just never know how to take that one. It's like, yeah, you guys are so funny and hilarious. I fall right asleep.
No, they fall asleep because of our soothing voices.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
That's got to be it. Yeah.
So it's our boring podcast is what it is. That's what I think. Anyway, on to my story. This story I'm about to tell you happened when I was 5 or 6 years old. At that age, I was always getting into trouble and was always needing discipline. Now, I live in a Christian family that strongly believes in spankings. Well, there you go. Them darn Christians, hey, man. We love our children. That's why we beat them. Hey, I whooped my kids. So,
yeah, mine got spanked. I still give my kids spankings.
You can raise kids without whoopings, but and you can do it all with timeout and all that kind of stuff. But it's a lot faster with spankings. It just gets done, and the problem goes away. Anyway, when I got disciplined, I received my punishment in my parents' bathroom. Because this sounds so criminal, because that room was the best at containing the sound in our house.
Take them down to the spanking room, honey.
Make sure you close the door behind you. We don't want an incident like last week.
Stuff a sock in his mouth. I'm going to town on him. But anyway, on one of these occasions, my mother was going to spank me, but she told me to wait in the bathroom while she did a very important thing. So I waited. And I waited and I waited, and eventually I fell asleep in that bathroom. I don't know how long I was in there, but a while later I woke to my mother asking me what I was doing in the freaking bathroom. I told her I was waiting to be disciplined. You remember, you were supposed to beat me.
So yeah, I'm waiting here to get a spanking, Ma.
Like a good behaved kid. I couldn't behave to avoid the spanking, but I can behave once I'm going to get spanked. Makes sense. She didn't know that what I was talking about, since she had completely forgotten about it. See, you know how many times I prayed for God to make my mom forget a whooping, and he never answered my prayer. Well, he did. Aww. God always answers prayer. He either says yes, not now, or no. And every time I prayed for God to make my mom forget to give me a spanking, the answer apparently was no way, dude. So, anyway,
mine were always like reminding her. God reminded my mom to give me a spanking.
By the way, that child I love dearly needs to be beaten. Anyway, she didn't know what I was talking about, since she had completely forgotten. What makes this story funny is I had cousins coming over from out of town, and the only reason she found me anyway was because a cousin had asked where I was, and she couldn't find me. So I know that I was in that bathroom for a few hours at least, though, because when I fell asleep, my cousins were not supposed to arrive at the house for a good while. And when I woke up, they had already been there for a while. So anyway, that's my story. Keep up the great show, Simon from Tennessee. There should be a deal in his house that no more whoopings. That should have been the last one. You broke the rules, Mom.
You held him in suspense. He fell asleep waiting for discipline.
Waiting for his whooping.
I hope. Is it Simon or Simeon?
I don't know.
S-I-M-E-O-N.
I just decided to go with whatever felt good, like I always do.
Simon or Simeon from Tennessee. That is a great story.
So it could be Simeon. We just don't know. But
it might be Simon.
I can guarantee you pretty much however I pronounced it is wrong, because that's how it goes for me. Well, it's time for us to do some weekly rewinding.
Rewinding.
All right, so this one, I don't know. It's not that funny. It's just weird. We live in the city, and we live on we live in a good city. I mean, not a good city. St. Louis is crap. St. Louis is the worst city in America. It really is.
We live in a good city, said no one in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's terrible here. But we live on a good street, is what I was trying to say.
Oh, at least there's something good.
Yeah, it's a nice street, and it is a street by street thing. But we still get garbage thrown in our yard and stuff like that. Occasionally, we have to go out and clean plastic wrap, you know, and papers and stuff out. So we're not completely isolated from the inner city element, you know. That right. happens, and people pee on our building every now and then and stuff like that. It's ridiculous. But so it's a city, and I say city, and I don't want you to automatically think inner city and think I'm talking about black people. I'm talking about we're inner city, and we live in an area that has a lot of bars and nightlife areas. And so when the misbehaving most of the time is young people and drunk people.
Yeah.
Like I told you about the time my wife saw a guy stumbling around in his underwear and when she was over next to my friend David's house, and that same day my friend David found a pair of pants in the alley.
And I know who these belong to.
And they put the story together between the two of them that the drunk guy had tried to pee near the dumpster and had lost his pants and had just walked out of them and just walked down the street. So anyway.
Oh, man, I wonder where I'll put my pants.
So please understand, when I say inner city, there is a good mix of people going on. Anyway, all that to say, one day, randomly, a shovel appeared in my front yard, just tucked into the bushes next to the stairs. And I didn't think much of it. I thought, okay, that's it's one of our shovels. One of my kids or my wife was doing something out here, and they didn't put it away. Well, every time I go in the house, I'd forget about it. And it was one of those deals where I only remembered it when I was walking up the steps, going into the house, and I promptly forget about it as soon as I put whatever I was carrying on the table. So that thing sat out there for a month. And finally, I looked at it, and I realized this is not our shovel. And so I was like, who put the shovel out there? And nobody knew. Nobody knew. Somebody from the city, somebody from my inner city experiential life put a shovel in our front yard. And so we have dubbed it the crime shovel, because it has to be that somebody killed somebody with that thing or did something bad. And then they dumped it like a gangster throwing a piece into the river, you know? And so the crime shovel has been in our front yard for a couple of months, and I was afraid to touch it because I was like, eventually somebody's going to come by from the FBI.
Yeah, and you don't want your fingerprints on it.
I don't want my fingerprints on it, but I did go ahead and pick it up. And instead of throwing it away, I now have two shovels. I have a normal shovel, and I have a crime shovel. And the crime shovel is in my shed in the backyard. And if you ever hear about me getting arrested for a murder, you need to help me, okay? You and all the listeners have now listened, and you know that even though my fingerprints are on the crime shovel, I did not commit the crime. It was given to me, and I used it as a gift. So I may come to regret the crime owning the crime shovel, but So I have a crime shovel, and that's my weekly update, and that's all I'm saying about that. So
that's impressive.
Who knows?
Actually,
so who knows? What other reason would there be for leaving a shovel in somebody's bushes? You know, you must have used it to do something bad. There's no blood on it or anything, but that doesn't mean you didn't bash somebody in the head with it.
I think that some neighbor borrowed it from another neighbor, and neighbor A borrowed it from neighbor B, and neighbor A forgot where neighbor B lived, and he thought, I think it's that house over there. Yeah. I'm just going to return neighbor B's shovel to him or her, and that's how it
and
got
I thought my crime shovel explanation was ridiculous. That that one makes mine seem even more legitimate, actually.
Well, you
the neighbor would forget where he lived on the same street. It's a little hard to take. I don't know if I believe that.
Just friend returning another friend's shovel. It wasn't, you know, Muggsy saying, "Hey, you there, see? Put the shovel over there by that house." You just buried somebody with it now.
Yeah. So I think it's a crime shovel. So I'm the proud owner of two shovels, and one of them is a crime shovel. So
I want a crime shovel.
Well, come by and I'll let you borrow it, and you can forget where I live.
Okay. I'm going to return a shovel to your house.
Just
I don't
pay it forward. Just give it to somebody new. Maybe that's what it is. It's a pay it forward shovel. And I have messed it up. That shovel's traveled around like Benji helping people.
Now it's in your garage.
And now it's stuck and it's never going to help anybody again. It's never going to find its way to its next, you know, poor child that lives on the street that needs help. But
you ever think how much more awesome this is a really change in gears, but do you think how much more awesome it would have been if Harry Potter rode a shovel instead of a broom?
Oh, man. There's a great Key and Peele skit about an inner city wizarding school, and
yeah, I've seen it.
And they ride Swiffers for Quidditch practice. So
I don't remember the Swiffer part, but yeah. I remember them blowing things up in the hall. And this is a good school. This is a good school.
They're good kids. Awesome. They're good kids. So yes. Anyway, so what about your week there, John?
Man, I don't know how you can be so amazing to talk about a shovel that gets left at your house and it becomes a great story.
It's a gift.
Or two lemons. It's amazing to me how that I, you know, have a very dull story in comparison to your so-called dull story, but mine will actually live up to the name. I was, and this actually just happened. I was going over to the athletic complex here on our campus.
Wow.
Yeah. We have an athletic complex. It's pretty cool. I have an athletic complex.
I do too. I mean, I don't have any athleticism in me. I do nothing athletic, and I have a complex about it. So,
yeah.
So it's good to know your church has one too. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know how many of the church folks use it, but our high school and middle school uses it a lot. So they're very excited about that. But, I was walking in there and they, you know, the gym there, the work, the weight room and stuff, they play music for the students. And it's quite a broad range. Usually it's something high and driving and something to boost the energy and get your metabolism. I don't know what they do. It's just loud music as far as I'm concerned. But as I was walking up, there's a group of coaches, guy coaches, and I could see him through the window. And the music that was blaring did not match at all the people in the room.
Okay.
Have you seen Frozen 2?
Yeah.
You know that song Into the Unknown?
Yeah.
That's what was playing. And there's these tough looking football coach guys in there. This song is blasting into the place. And I had this thought in my mind, like, why? And I mean, it's a great song. I love it. And I was singing along with it, just to be honest, but I couldn't figure it out. And then I opened the door and looked, and there was some lady coaches there and some lady students. So they must not have been football coaches. They must have been, I don't know, basketball, girls basketball, okay, or volleyball, okay, or something. So it kind of legitimized the music playing at the moment. But I just thought it was funny to see that happen. And it's not as funny as a crime shovel. But it's funny nonetheless.
I don't think a crime shovel is funny. I think it's dangerous and weird. And
it's mysterious.
And I just took something boring and made it seem interesting. That's all it is.
I need to learn from you.
Because it's secretly just that I found a shovel in my yard. That's the only thing. That's all that happened. But
it's not your shovel, though.
I manipulated it into a story. I'm making up the crime shovel thing, but really that's honestly what we call it. It's the crime shovel, and it stayed in the front yard for a long time just in case somebody needed to find it and or reclaim their evidence somehow.
But you could stab it into the ground and put a note on it and said, "Hey, is this your crime shovel?"
Yeah, take your crime shovel.
Go ahead and take it with you.
We don't need it. But it disappeared. So Maybe we're like a laundering service for crime shovels or crime accessories, you know? Like the next time there might be a pitchfork and it's like, okay, they did good last time, you know? And there'll be a bag of money next to it. Then we've got to get rid of the jigsaw. For some reason there's a jigsaw. So
I got a crime toilet in my yard. If anybody,
is that thing still there? You redneck piece of trash.
Yes. It's behind the rose bushes right now. Oh. So you can't really see it from the road, but it's still there.
Piece of garbage. What happened to you? You're in rebellion against your former life. That's what it is. You're like,
busy.
By God, I got a toilet in my front yard and I love it. It's going to stay there.
I don't know where to put it.
Nobody can make me move it. Told you, put it out by the side of the road with a sign that says free. And it will be gone within an hour.
Free toilet. Well, part of me wants to keep it because maybe one day I'll build a room, extra bathroom.
Add a bathroom on.
Yeah, and it's like a pretty new toilet. So.
But if your wife didn't want that one, why would she want that one in another bathroom?
Won't use the other one. She'll be like, you boys go out there and use the other bathroom.
Oh, this would be an outhouse type of
maybe,
room.
Maybe, yeah.
Wow.
With a flushing toilet.
Wow. I know what to get you for your birthday. I'm going to get you an American flag and some, I don't know, just everything's going to have camo on it.
Thanks. Yeah, man, that sounds so good. Actually, something happened the other day, which helped me to realize I'm not really a redneck, but I can't remember what it was though.
Okay.
Well, I was like, oh, there's no way I could be a redneck because.
We got an email from a listener, Noobs of the Universe. It was so uplifting. I wanted to read it. Hi, James and John. I am finished listening to your latest episode, and I just wanted to let you know, even though there was not much comedy, now they're talking about the one we did, the reviews, the bad reviews.
Oh, okay.
He says, even though there wasn't much comedy, this may be one of my favorite episodes. The way you handled all of those reviews was amazing, especially when you talked about the difference between racial and racist. I remember when you said that before, and I thought it was a really good way to say it. All the people who are saying you are not family friendly, I disagree with. You may not be friendly to small kids. Yeah, we hate small kids. Ah.
Yeah, the little punks.
If you're 9 or under, we hate your butt.
but you have good stories.
But the first part of your podcast is literally a warning saying for everyone 10 and up. I know, but we didn't always have that on there. And now it saves our life. But before that, it was risky. And it's very hard to stay completely squeaky clean all the time. So I don't blame you for having a few suggestive things once in a while. When it's
what does that mean?
I don't know. Grapes come to mind. So rocks come to mind. There's
bread.
There's been a few. This episode made me realize that you both are not only hilarious, but you're kind and respectful, even to people who are rude to you. No, we're not. John is. I hate people. No, I'm kidding. I don't hate anybody.
You're not.
I'm not.
Never heard you say mean things.
I wish I could give you a nice review. But there are no reviews on Spotify, so I just wrote this here. And I apologize for any poor grammar or writing, because I am a middle schooler, and unless I'm telling my story, my writing and speaking is pretty bad. Well, I could not tell. It was an excellent review. Thank you, Noobs of the Universe.
So, congratulations on being a well-written middle schooler.
That's right. I think he has sent in stories before and they've been middle school like though. So it shows that he can do it when he wants to.
Yeah. Well, you know, school's out right now. So.
Or I'm thinking from a few years ago when he was a middle schooler and he says he is now. So anyway, maybe not. Some people have grown up with the show and they started as young punks that couldn't write anything if they wanted to. And they've become quite the storyteller, you know,
literary experts even.
I'd like to take a moment and thank some new patrons. Fred became a $10 patron, and we appreciate that. Sarah Cleaver became a $5 patron.
Whoa.
Liam became a $10 patron.
William?
Zane Estrada became a $20 patron.
Whoa, Zane!
And Kale Lawrenson became a $5 patron. So thank you guys so much. If you want to become a patron, that means that you support the show with more than just listening. You have a little cash laying around that you don't know what to do with. You can support the show for like $5 a month and it will help us out. And you could do that at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And we will read your name on the air and we will send you stuff and you can
I'll pray for you at night.
You'll have special access to our patron only podcast and it'll be great. We got some reviews I wanted to read real quick. This is from Alexa Carroll. I love this show. Hi, That Story Show. I'm Alexa, and my younger sister, Devin, wrote a review for the show. Please put this on the show to make my family laugh.
It's making me laugh.
I don't know how to make her laugh with this, but I love the show. You guys are so funny and genuine, and that's why she I love that. Hi, I'm Devin. My sister, Alexa, suggested this show, and I love it. Thank you for being so awesome, Devin. So there we go. The duo.
They got back to back.
We also got a review from GabbyGal99, S. Angeline, Phil Scarlett from the United Kingdom, Star Wars 253, and Dog World. And then Chaos of something in Chris says, I love this podcast. Well, I love your username. That's unpronounceable. It doesn't have enough vowels. Hey, James and John, I could not imagine giving you a bad review. I've tried to find additional podcasts to listen to, but I've been almost unsuccessful, and I keep on coming back to you guys. It's like he's saying, I'm trying to find something good. I really am, but I can't.
So I can't quit you. I can't quit you, That Story Show. What is that from? I don't even know.
I don't know.
I can't quit you.
I think that the people sending in bad reviews are just envious of your talent. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what
yes.
it is. They're just mad. Because anybody, that was one of the reviews we got actually was somebody said, anybody could do this show. No offense, but anybody could do it. So you guys are so blessed to have such great podcasts and listeners. And we really are. Yes. We are very blessed to have awesome listeners. Anyone who leaves a bad review is an LBB for the rest of their lives. So yes, everyone from the last episode, I'm talking about you. And this again was K.A.K. Bass and Chris. That's the best I can do with that. I don't know.
I think what it's else. Kayak Bass and Chris.
Oh, really?
Maybe if you like say it fast.
Kayak Bass and Chris.
No, wait. Yeah, actually, kayak is K-Y-A-K, isn't it? So this is kayak.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, thank you for trying to help me. It's.
I'm sorry.
I need all the help I can get with these names. I'm terrible with them.
And that's why we love you, James.
Well, let me take a second and tell you about something and someone who has sponsored the show. Getting a degree can seem like an unreachable goal, especially if you have a job, kids, or other family obligations. Maybe you've also been out of school for a while and you don't have the time or the money to go back to school, but you need that degree to advance. Enter the University of Texas at El Paso or UTEP. UTEP is part of the country's largest university system, the University of Texas system. UTEP's suite of fully online degree programs, known as UTEP Connect, was created to make sure we remove as many barriers as possible to get you a degree. We understand that coming back to school after a long time can be challenging, and we're here to provide you with the support that you need. Their degrees are 100% online, and so they are accessible from anywhere by anyone with a computer and an internet connection. They're flexible and convenient for busy people, affordable with one of the lowest tuition rates in the UT system, and the same degree you would get on campus with the same content and professors. And we strongly believe that student support is key to student success. Therefore, we provide a personalized guidance from the start. Each student is assigned a point of contact at every stage in their journey with us. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Our enrollment counselors will help you navigate and complete the application process. A student success advisor will stay with you until you graduate. And our team works closely with UTEP's Military Student Success Center to make your entry into UTEP an easy one after your military service. And we're accepting applications now. So go online to utep.edu or call UTEP Connect at 1-800-684-UTEP today for information. With UTEP Connect, higher education is now within the reach of everyone everywhere. And we'd like to thank UTEP Connect for sponsoring that story show. It really helps a lot. And I hope you guys will give them a chance and check them out at UTEPConnect.com. So there we go. Let's get into some listener stories. Yes, the answer is yes, we are. This is called How to Kill a Crush, and it comes to us from Pierce Jenkins in Louisiana. And boy, does he kill a crush, I'm telling you, like no other middle schooler can. And this is middle school drama.
Dang it. Move out of the way, stupid.
Yo, James and John, this is PJ. And sadly, I am no longer a middle schooler, but fortunately, I used to be one.
Yay!
About 3 years ago, me and my band, Firm Foundation, shameless plug, check us out on Instagram. We went to Toby Mac's music camp called Camp Electric. Well, awesome. That sounds
lucky.
Yeah. It was a great camp and all, but the most embarrassing thing happened on the way back in a giant black van. I had a huge crush on this girl in our band, which is why you're in the band. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And hey, that's why there were no girls in our band, John. When we had our band, there was no one to crush on.
We were taking dudes.
Three guys playing in a band. But I was sitting in the back row with my crush. Let's call her Lucy for old time's sake. Lucy also had an unexplainably repulsive response to anything related to barfing. So if someone said they felt sick, she would freak out. So one of the kids in our band was feeling nauseous, apparently due to the awful camp food. Anyway, he was leaning over his baseball cap just in case he had to chunk. Meanwhile, Lucy's on the brink of passing out. She started hyperventilating, and it was bad. Me having a crush on this girl, it got my creative middle school juices flowing, and I was trying to figure out how to make her feel better, and then I got it. We all know camp food is terrible and does terrible things to the bowels, but it did something awful to me. I mean, bad. It was gas. It was ungodly. No. I had to fart. So being the idiot that I am, I proclaimed valiantly with the best intentions, "Want to smell my farts?" Everyone started laughing, and she cracked a very small smile. Very small. Well, everyone was laughing except for the guy driving the van. He was not laughing, and he said, "What did you say?" And I was like, "Want to smell my farts?" And he thought about this for a moment, and then he started laughing hysterically. He said, "Oh, I thought you said, 'Want to smell my parts?'" I immediately turned red. I wanted to shrink and hide and die because it was terrible. Sadly, that wasn't the only stupid thing I said on the trip. Hope this gets on the show. You guys are great. Rock on, brothers. Pierce Jenkins from Louisiana. So my question is, what did the girl hear? Did she hear farts or parts? And that's scary. So
I don't know why introducing a rancid stench into the air would help somebody feel less sick.
I don't know either.
Mind of a middle schooler.
Logic of middle school. They don't make sense, and it doesn't have to. They all eventually make it through it, though. Somehow become responsible young people.
Yes, they do. And you know what? For all of you in middle school right now, hang on. You might be making some crazy dumb decisions, but it's okay. You're going to learn from them, and you're going to become a high schooler, and you're going to look back in life and say, "Whoa, can't believe I did that."
And listen, if anything ever does go really bad and you're in a bad situation, you just can't get out of it. And you're trying to think your way through, just stop what you're doing, no matter what, and belt out the words, "Do you want to smell my farts?" And everything is bound to get better immediately.
Yeah. And then write in to our show and tell us what happened so that we'll have some good content with the rest of the world.
Some more stories for the people.
Good one, Pierce.
Thanks,
PJ,
Pierce.
Sorry. Well, hey, I got something from Patrick Newman.
All right.
Newman is also the mispronunciation of the town that I used to live in.
Oh, Noonan.
Noonan.
Newman.
But Newman. And I don't know about you, because I watched a little Seinfeld growing up. And so anytime I see the name Newman, and I'm sure Patrick has to go through this, you always hear Newman.
Newman. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, Patrick writes to us about his butter nose. Hello, James and or John. This is Patrick. You know, there's never going to be a John without a James. So I think it's going to always be James and John.
Yeah.
Not or. So
I like, people seem to act like you are optional. And I'm going to just lay it out right now. John is not optional.
Aw, dogs.
He is here. So it, address us both or address neither.
You can address just James. That's okay. Sometimes I'm not here. But yeah, but I will never be here and James not be here. That's always the way it goes. So,
yeah, there you go. True. I understand.
Anyway, so I'll make a correction here for Patrick. Hello, James and John. This is Patrick. I want to tell you about a story that happened to me when I was about 6. Seems like we got a little bit of a theme here with 5 or 6 year olds. Don't we? He says, when I was about 6, the Good Egg restaurant was still alive. I'm not familiar. Not.
Yeah, I don't know it either.
I don't know where Patrick's from, but I don't recall anything about any kind of eggs, good or not. So, but this restaurant was still alive, and we decided to go there for lunch. I, being 6, ordered the Mickey Mouse pancakes.
Of course.
Yes, that sounds, yeah. For who's the leader of the pack for pancakes?
Yeah. It's
made for you and me, MIC. It was one large pancake with 2 smaller ones as ears. It had fruit for the eyes and mouth and a scoop of butter for the nose. Mm. I, still being 6, assumed that scoop of butter was ice cream.
Oh.
So I popped it in my mouth, not wanting it to melt. I know exactly those butter pats you're talking. It's like they scoop it out of a big old vat,
yeah,
with a little tiny ice cream scooper.
It is.
And then they put it on your pancakes.
It looks like very vanilla ice cream, you know?
It does. And it holds its shape nice, and it starts to melt on the bottom because of the hot pancake. I'm getting hungry for some of that butter right now, actually.
But not a mouthful. Oh.
Well, he popped it into his mouth, not wanting it to melt. It may or may not be entirely coincidental that all of my Mickey Mouse pancakes from then on no longer contained a nose, as well as most things involving butter that should be there. It no longer had it.
You don't like butter no more. I don't blame him, man.
Thanks for doing your show. It makes weeding enjoyable.
Well, see, there we go. At least he's not trying to sleep to us. I can handle weeding. You're allowed to do odd jobs and listen to the show. So
makes it fun.
Carry on.
And don't forget those ones behind the daffodils.
Yeah,
over there.
And watch out for crime shovels if you're in the bushes.
Seriously.
You never know when they're going to turn up.
And poison ivy, too, because I hate that stuff.
This one's called Bad, Bad Vivia. I'm going to say Vivia. What do you think? And this one's from Azalea. I think I've got both the names correct. Hi. Hey, James and John. It's me, Azalea. I wanted to start by saying I love your podcast more than anything in the world. See how people are just coming out of the woodwork with their compliments ever since we read all those negative reviews. They just love us even more.
Man.
That's so awesome.
I'm walking on sunshine.
I'm telling you what, it makes doing the podcast even more fun. And anyway, it's helped me through a lot of hard times. Well, I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I've been a supportive listener since 2016. I am 10 years old. I'm going into middle school in September. So I don't know if I'm considered a middle schooler yet. Yes, you are. You are a middle schooler, and we will play your song.
Move out of the way, stupid.
I have 2 short stories about the same topic, and the names I will leave for you to decide. So last year, my little sister, Vivia, who was 4 or 5 at the time, really wanted chocolate milk, like really. So my mom refused to let her have it because it was almost time for bed. So she screamed and ran out of the room like the little diva she is.
I love it when big sisters call little sisters divas.
That's great. The end. No, it's not the
end. Mommy!
We all went back to doing what we were doing and didn't notice that she'd come out of our room and went into the kitchen. A few moments later, we heard a huge splash. Sorry, it's your redneck ways coming off on me.
I got to get rid of that toilet out of my yard.
I heard a huge splash. Me and my mom ran to the kitchen to see what had happened, and when we got there, Vivia was just standing there, paralyzed in shock, because she had chocolate milk everywhere. The funniest part was that because her hair was so curly, the liquid got matted into her head. So little bubbles are hanging on for dear life because of the water tension. After we got her somewhat cleaned up, she explained to us that she had tried to shake the milk and the chocolate together like she usually does, but forgot to put the cap on.
Nice.
So there you go. You got busted, kid. You were gonna. Yep. She was gonna have that chocolate milk no matter what mom said, dude.
I don't care.
I'll tell you
I'm
what.
I'm gonna drink my chocolate
milk. It's like I saw a video the other day on YouTube, and it was of this little boy that had gotten his mom's lipstick, and he had put lipstick on all of his action figures. So Captain America had lipstick on his lips. It was just kind of caked on there. Hulk and Iron Man all had lipstick, and then she pans down the bed and all of his stuffed animals have lipstick all over their mouths and around their eyes and on their noses. And then the next little clip is of her saying, okay, come on, it's time to put you in the bath, because he had also rubbed it all over his own face. And I'm like, we got a piece missing here, because this kid needs a beating. That's why you have to whoop them, even if it's funny, even if you have to go in the other room and laugh for a little while. You got to come back because they're going to do it again. And I'll tell you, you know how many times my son drew on the wall? Exactly one. And that's why.
Yeah. I did it once, and I recall why I never did it again.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, we're just giving you some parenting advice. Whoop your children. Anyway, the second story about Vivia took place at the beginning of May. We were baking a cake and we had a bowl of powdered sugar on the table. Soon after we were done using it, we noticed that it seemed to have disappeared along with that little Vivia. Man, she is a mess. She is a hot mess.
She's a diva, a chocolate milk drinking powdered sugar
stealer.
Scarfing, stealing little diva, right?
All of a sudden, a colossal puff of white smoke-like substance shoots out from under the table, and Vivia comes up, covered in powdered sugar. It looked like a chimney sweep coming out of the chimney, covered in soot, except with powdered sugar. She later said she was trying to lick it up like a dog, but ended up coughing in it, and then it quote-unquote coughed right back at her.
Oh my goodness.
It's been my dream to submit a story for so long, and now I'm finally doing it. So it would mean the world to me if you put it on the show. Love, Azalea. Absolutely, we'll put it on the show. Thank you so much for sending it in.
I'm having a hard time believing that was written by a 10-year-old.
That's telling you, the world has changed in the last 5 years or so. Because the middle school drama we used to get was just illegible. I don't know if that's the case, or if I just see it and immediately put it on the other podcast stories that can never be read on the show. Because we still get some, but no, we don't we really don't get that LOL speak stuff anymore.
Lol, yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
So, it's like our middle schoolers have really grown up and become quite responsible.
And the next generation that's coming up are just better quality grammar students. I don't know.
I guess so.
So there we go.
I say, what does that say of our show, that we've got such decent and well-written middle schoolers?
Yes, we do. We acquired them somehow.
I bet they go to UTEP, don't they?
I guess so. UTEPconnect.com. So go for it. Try it out. Get your degree. That's right.
Wow.
Sally Struthers would approve. So
Sally. Oh, Sally. Good Sally. Well, I've got a story from Mila Allen here, and this comes to us from the cold north.
No.
The very cold north. Yes. Hi, awesome hosts. Now, if that doesn't just warm your heart right now.
I know. I love it. I can't get enough of it.
Oh, it gets better. Hi, awesome hosts. You both are great.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to that. I bet you picked the store just come from the intro alone.
Yeah, it's true. If you say lots of nice things about us, it doesn't matter if your story sucks. You're getting on the show. No, I'm kidding. Of course.
But only a little bit.
If it's something like, James and John, you are the best things that ever happened to me. I saw a roach. Hope this gets on the show. Love, Celia. That's getting on the show.
Well, look how many we have of those next week. We'll see.
Yeah, I saw a roach. That's it.
Well, back to Captain America, child. You both are great. Here is a story from Canada. One beautiful winter day, it finally got up to negative 15 degrees Celsius. Now, that I didn't do any conversions. Mila did it for us. That's 5 degrees Fahrenheit. Thank you, Mila. I don't even know what a Celsius is. I studied it in school when I was a kid. I learned how to convert it and quickly forgot. So thank you.
Same here.
Now, 5 degrees is not warm.
No.
In any part of this country. But in Canada, 5 degrees Fahrenheit is warm because they were having an average of negative 25 degrees, which is negative 13 Fahrenheit.
For all of us. I wouldn't even know how to exist in that weather. That's the truth.
I've been in negative 10 when I was in Wyoming and visiting out there. It got cold as negative 10. And it was in that part of the country. It was nice, actually, because it was dry cold.
Yeah.
But here it gets down to 40. And it's so humid, it feels like it's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyways, not about me. This is about Mila and her Captain America child. So because of this warm weather snap that they were having, my family and I got out into the sun and headed out to the snow-covered hill. We grabbed our toboggans to go for some fun. Now, for those who don't know what a toboggan is, it's like a sled, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I understand.
Pretty sure. Toboggan, yeah.
We use them here in the Midwest, too.
Okay. We just use shower curtains here down in the South, or we take the wheels off of our skateboards.
Take the metal part off the wheelbarrow and just go down in that. That's it.
That's right. Because, it snows like once every 5 years here.
And it lasts for 15 minutes. Yeah. So.
Yeah. But they'll cancel school for it, let me tell you.
Yeah, they will.
So. During this time where they were going out for some fun on the toboggans, her kids were 4, 6, and 8. That is a well-spaced number of kids. The older two were experienced sledders, and they knew the rules and laws of the hill. One important rule is to go up along the side of the hill to come back up so that the kids who are at the top of the hill can continue to go down the middle, where all the good sledding tracks are.
Yeah.
We have a long wooden candy cane shaped sled that my husband has used as a snowboard going down the hill. That sounds like a different story in and of itself. They have a circle plastic disc shaped sled. And then the young child seat sled that has absolutely no control, but goes completely straight.
That sounds promising.
Sounds promising. Well, we had been at the hill for about half an hour and we're really enjoying ourselves when the middle child decided that it would be a good idea to be creative. She had gone down the hill and was starting to make her way up the hill when I released our youngest for her trip down the middle of the hill. Now, I had aimed the sled to go nicely down the middle and give good room for the middle child to make her way up the side of the hill and not be able to interrupt the younger one coming down the middle. This is a creative part because once you let go of a sled, there's no control. And that is why there are rules for the hill.
Yes.
While my middle creative daughter at the right moment decided to not get out of the way, but to go more into the middle and hold her round disc-shaped sled up like Captain America in front of the other child coming down the hill. Keep in mind now, this is the sled that has absolutely no controls and just completely straight.
Yes.
Now, as any action movie would have it, time slowed down as we watched the youngest sweep down the middle of the hill and sweep the middle child right off of her feet and send her flipping into the air. Like a good moment on America's Funniest Home Videos.
There you go.
Or Canada's Funniest Home Videos, eh? All the parents who were at the hill were looking on in horror, thinking that I did that on purpose.
I aimed my baby at my middle child. That's right. That's what right. I did.
Because, that's an amazing way to make both children cry and end the day on the hill.
Mm.
And to confirm their thoughts, my wonderful husband, through his laughter, asked loudly if I did that on purpose. Of course.
Sure.
I was aiming for the middle child with the youngest child so that we could have an awesome story to send into that story show.
There you go.
There we go. Both children are fine, by the way. We laugh to this day about our Captain America child. Hope you like the story. Love your podcast. Mila Allen from Canada.
That's the best part is the little girl never even saw it coming. She just, that's why she probably wandered to the middle of the lane is she's got this thing in front of her and she can't see. So she's just kind of doing her thing. And here comes baby boy down the road, right on top of
her. She was holding that shield up, that sled disc, that big round one, like a shield for, you know, I'm going to get my little sibling here and make their life terrible.
All right, we got a voicemail coming to us from Brother Justice. It's a story called Bad Beard. I hope you enjoy it.
Hey guys, Brother Justice down in Florida here. Wanted to jump on and give a quick story about my mother. A couple Thanksgivings ago, granted now my mother is an old-fashioned conservative Southern mom and she married a preacher. She has two boys, myself and my brother, who are preachers, and that's our family. And so my mom has formed opinions concerning preachers and their conduct. And one of those opinions is concerning facial hair on ministers or preachers. And my mom has always thought that a man of God, as it were, should be clean shaven and not have facial hair. And my dad and me are incapable of growing facial hair, so it's always been a moot point. Well, my brother, a couple years ago, in his 30s, mid-30s, already married, out of the home, decides he wants to grow a full beard, like his pastor, incidentally. And so he grows a full beard, and as we're sitting there for Thanksgiving, my mom decides to bring the subject up, and along with the subject of being against what's currently on his face, the tension rose and it got quite uncomfortable in what should be a joyous setting. And so to bring humor to the situation, I quickly thought, and my wittedness brought in this comment, "Well, one thing I know is I'm certainly against beards on women." To which immediately, without even thinking, my mom responded, "Well, I can't help that. That's just peach fuzz." And immediately, me and my brother and my dad all burst out laughing as I was trying to be facetious, and my mother took it quite seriously and offensively that I was addressing her facial hair situation to combat her opinions about my brothers. Trying to lighten the mood again, said, "Well, do you want me and my brother to go in together and get you laser hair removal for Christmas?"
No.
My mom, not to be outdone with the wit, pats her belly, and she means to quip that she didn't want laser hair removal as badly as she needs liposuction, but she says to us all with a smirk on her face, "I don't need laser hair removal as bad as I need Botox."
Ooh.
And it ends just like that.
Yeah, that's it. No.
Nice. That was some good storytelling right there.
There you go. There you go.
Brother Justice.
Thank you. Bad beard. Yeah, you know moms have to bring it up, man. They can't let it go. If there's a problem, it's got to be brought up. And why not dinner? And what kind of amazing family does he have that this is the biggest deal? They must have no problems at all for facial hair to become to cause tension at Thanksgiving. Yeah,
well, I mean, you got a bunch of preachers in the house. They all walk on water.
Yeah, so. I guess so. I love how Jesus had a beard, but pastors aren't allowed to have beards. Pastors aren't
allowed. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Maybe it's just the culture.
It's just an opinion that she has about pastors. She's got a right to it, I suppose. John from Geneva, New York writes, "Unnecessary roughness. Hi, James and John. I really enjoyed writing the story about Challenger, the cannibalistic Labrador. Yeah. Love that story.
That was a great story.
So I thought I would try another one. My best friend and I were at a popular downhill mountain biking area in the Catskill Range of New York. We spent the better part of the day riding the trails and enjoying the beautiful fall foliage. Mm. These rides also result in their fair share of slips, spills, and tumbles, which is why I don't do it. The funny thing was the most dramatic and memorable crash happened at the very end of the day, and it wasn't even us.
Oh, that's the best kind.
My friend and I were wrapping up our first run down the mountain when we came upon a father and his two boys. And the boys were around 8 and 10 years of age, and they were fearless. They were spending their time racing on a slalom course. Is that how you say that? How do you say that?
Slalom. Yes, yeah, so you know, where they go back and forth side to side.
Yeah. With dirt berms set for the turns. So they were banked, basically.
Yeah.
I can see it. While we were watching, the father made his announcement that the next run was going to be the last. So the older of the two boys had been losing to his younger brother over and over. And I'm guessing this triggered an instinctual desperation in him because he went all out on this last run. You could tell his balance was off just a bit going into the last curve. And sure enough, he completely missed the turn and ran up and over the berm at breakneck speed. Ooh. At the top of the mound, he went airborne and landed in a heap, and he lay there motionless as we all ran over to check on him. And when we got to him, the boy was curled up in the fetal position with his eyes squeezed shut. He wasn't crying. He wasn't moving. He just laid there. And over and over, his father attempted to get him to tell us what was wrong, and the boy refused to answer. What's wrong? No answer. Are you okay? No answer. Can you get up? That really took me back to my own son running into the house the other day with his broken elbow. And it's just like, you need information and they can't give it to you because they're in so much pain and it's so scary. Well, anyway, finally the boy let out a small hissing, "No, I can't get up." The father was very concerned by now and asked his boy, "Where are you hurt?" And with obvious pain and with perfect comedic timing, the boy struggled out, "My nuggets." Naturally, everyone on the scene, except for the poor fallen hero, was completely overtaken by laughter.
He said, "My nuggets."
"My nuggets."
What are those?
"I don't know. We're a clean show. We don't know." It's been at least 8 years since it happened, but my friend still love to retell the story of the boy who fell and broke his junk.
Oh, my goodness.
Hope you guys enjoyed the story. Thanks for a great podcast. John from Geneva, New York.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Very awesome. And what a great story to end on, I'll tell you. Thank you so much, all of our storytellers today. They were classic. Listen, do you have a funny life story? Send your stories, email or audio, to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. And if we used your story, we owe you a sticker. So email me your address. thatstoryshow.com is the website. Review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. And thanks to our patrons for your support. With special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Dave O'Keefe, Janu Striesbeck, and Carrie Wright. Join the club and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. Hey, and remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you or your nuggets, don't get stressed. Don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs in the shed with the crime shovel. No, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, James.
You're the best, man.
No, you are.
No, we are. The people love us. We are loved by our listeners, and that makes all the difference. The heck with those bad reviews. We got so many nice people.
Yeah, I'm going to flush those bad reviews right down my yard toilet.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere.
I'm going to put a wager of about $1,000 on the fact that toilet will never be reused in your home.
Oh, my goodness, dude. You're probably right.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big.